than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, here we are. We're a couple of days removed from the draft, and the Ravens have made some big choices. And to discuss it all, go over everything. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How are you?
Brandon, man, I'm fired up from this draft. We'll definitely dive right into it. I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. So you're not upset that you weren't the number one draft pick this year? I mean, every year it gets harder for you, I know.
It is, man. I'm working my tail off every year to get there.
All right, well, let's talk about the first round. The Ravens, they drafted at number 25. Before we get into Marquise Brown, who is the number one pick, how on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you that the Ravens actually traded back?
Not shocked at all. I knew it was going to happen.
You know, there's the Ravens and Eric DaCosta did some different things than they normally do at the draft, but trading back seems to be a trait of the Ravens. It seems to be like they're never happy with where they're at and always can think they can get a couple more picks. I was a little surprised when they did trade back that they didn't get a second rounder, but they did pick up two picks later on in the draft. So
fourth and a sixth rounder, and they dropped three places back, so they didn't really lose too much ground.
Exactly.
And guess who the partner was, obviously, again, 2 years in a row, it was the Eagles. So us and the Eagles have a little partnership here going on. Yeah. Remember last year, Eagles traded their last pick in the first round so he can move up and get Jackson, and then we find the Eagles as partners again. They take our 22nd spot, and we drop three places back. But think about it. You only drop three places back in the draft. You still get the 25th overall, and you gain two more picks. Like, I mean, it's a win. It's definitely a win. And obviously, the player who they drafted, and we all know who it is, I felt that, and obviously it worked out, that here's the thing. If they want to go receiver in the first round, right, if you trade three places back and then still get them, that means that they either gambled and they were right, or they were like, you know what, he might be there and the other teams probably don't need him. But remember Eric DaCosta, what he was saying? He was nervous that Philly might take him.
That's right, but with the trend that was going on in this draft, Marquise Brown at number 25, he was the first wide receiver of the draft to be selected. So I bet you that went into the Ravens' decision to trade back, as they always do. It's three spots. Nobody else has taken a wide receiver. This is the guy we want. It's okay to go back three spots. He's going to be there. So that seems to be the line of thinking they had. Let's talk a little bit about Marquise Brown. He's a wide receiver. Nickname is Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I know.
Did you see Lamar's reaction? It was great.
I did see Lamar's reaction. Seems to be very excited to have him on the team.
Well, you know they're from the same county, right?
That's right. Yeah, they're both Florida boys. Yeah, I think they're same area code, something like that. So,
and Antonio Brown said that too, so he put a stamp of approval on it.
That's right. Antonio Brown is his cousin, so he knows the lineage of the NFL and what's it like to be a player in the NFL. Right. The biggest knock on this kid, though, is the fact that pretty short, and he is kind of slender, not something you normally would think of for a wide receiver. So let me ask you, why do you think this kid, this spot is the right one to do at this time for the Ravens? Because I was a little surprised they went wide receiver in the first round. I thought they were going to do somebody for the offensive line to stand there in front of Lamar. But they went wide receiver, and they went an unconventional pick with a guy who doesn't fit the normal bill of a wide receiver. Why do you think this was a good idea? Or do you think this is a good idea, I should ask?
You bring up a lot of great points, man, and I'm going to address everything right there for you. Leave no stone unturned on this one. So to address your whole, I was surprised that they picked receiver. I kind of was too, because I was like, look, they need their biggest needs for me. I mean, obviously they needed wide receivers because you look at it from the depth chart perspective. Willie Snead and Chris Moore are like number one and number two, or however you want it. So
that's right. Crabtree was let go, and John Brown is now in Buffalo. So two former wide receivers that were a big part of the play last season, they're now gone.
Exactly. So when it comes to that, and then you're right, another concern was we had C.J. Mosley go to sign a bigger contract in New York, so the middle linebacker spot was void. We had two edge rushers in Za'Darius Smith and Suggs go. So you really – then the line was a concern, right, because – you know, it wasn't Joe running around back there. It was Lamar. You know, Lamar's got the legs, but Lamar, the concern, you know, forget the fumbles, forget all that. But the concern in the playoff game against the Chargers was how many sacks did he get? Seven.
No, back.
Lamar had gotten sacked seven times in that game. So the line was a glaring concern, and there was great linemen in this draft. So it felt like the Ravens, when they traded back and got picks, to say, you know what, they're going to get their linemen here. We're going to get a great lineman. You know, again, not a sexy pick. It's not going to light every social media account up going, oh, no, did you see who we get? But, hey, it's a much-needed position, obviously, because if you don't have any blocking for passing and running, it's kind of hard to play football on the offensive side. But and to ask of why a receiver of that stature and of that – well, let me just – throw it all out there for you. Obviously, Joe Flacco is gone. He's in Denver. We don't have a Joe Flacco offense no more, where you have a pocket passer, gunslinger. He can zing it down the field. And I'm looking at a picture right now of Anquan Boldin. And I'll tell you why. Anquan Boldin is going up and getting the ball. It's the catch in Super Bowl 47. You remember how many, especially in the AFC title game, and even countless times, remember how many times Joe Flacco threw it up? And if it was not Dennis Pitt, it was Anquan Boldin getting it. That's the kind of receivers that Flacco needed, especially those tight ends. Flacco was that quarterback to, I'll throw it up in that area and go get it kind of deal, and he had those receivers. Lamar is not that. And you look at what the Ravens are doing, they're conforming, and I feel like they're one of the last teams to do so, I feel like. There's other teams that do it unconventionally, albeit the Patriots, but because they're on their level and Tom Brady is who he is, they get away with it, but because that's that scheme. But anyway, I digress. The NFL is getting faster, younger. Instead of bigger, faster, stronger, it's more like younger, faster, smaller. It bucks the trend in the NFL, right, Brandon? Because you're like smaller. But hear me out here. You know, everybody knocks the size, and I'm at him. Obviously, I'm 5'5". I stood right next to him. You know, he's short. He's small. If I saw him on the streets of the city, wouldn't think he was an NFL receiver like some players. But that's the way I look at it. And you look at what Lamar's skill sets are, right, Brandon? It's, again, going from what we're used to in Joe, okay? Changing of the guard, going to Lamar. You know Lamar's got his legs. You know this year he's working on his arm and wants to be more passer. He brought in Mark Ingram, right? So we're already showing that, hey, we want to alleviate you some of the running. We want you to be a quarterback and concentrate on that, whether, you know, that's the schemes or not. That was under Marty and that was under Joe offense, but I digress. But I love the pick because when the Ravens traded back and pretty much when it was their turn on the clock, Brandon, they had a pick of their litter. I was texting my buddy Tony and me and him go back and forth and basically saying the same thing. I'm just saying now, he is, we have all the talent we want to draft. I mean, we have any receiver there. I mean, there's N'Keal Harry, DJ Metcalf, Marquise Brown. All these receivers are there. You can draft that. You can go draft a lineman because there's some solid linemen still there. The Ravens had the pick of the litter at 25, and they still gained two picks later on. So, and that was kind of Eric DaCosta's mantra, his plan. In the pre-draft interviews, he was actually saying like a possibility is like, we want to trade back and acquire more. We always want more. And he probably learned that from his predecessor, Ozzie. You know, always trading back, always getting more. More is good. So, and then that could also use his trading power to trade back up, which they later did. So, and we'll get to that. But yeah, 25, that means they had their guy. And because they picked Brown over N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf, that means I felt like, you know, the whole, you know, it was like that on that movie Draft Day, the player, no matter what. I felt like the Ravens had on a little sticky note, Marquise Brown, no matter what. And when they traded back and they knew that Philly didn't get him And I think Houston was in the mix there too, but they didn't need him. And the Raiders were there, I think, if I remember serves correct, I think there were 24. And then they had the 27 pick right after us a little bit. So, yeah. So, I mean, with the Ravens having any pick of their receivers, they pretty much had it wide open there. And when they picked Brown, that means Brown was their guy. But again, Brown complements Lamar's skill set because he's a blow the roof off type of a guy. He's so quick. He is actually one of the fastest, if not the fastest receiver in this draft. And you see what the Ravens are doing is as we move through this draft a little bit and break it down, the Ravens are getting faster. And it's almost like a track team. You know, the NFL, I heard it thrown around by some of the media, modern day NFL. You might hear that a lot this year. And I feel like the NFL is going away from that old school Ravens football, the old school AFC North of get a big running back like Jamal Lewis and Jerome Bettis and run the ball and clash of the Titans and hard smash mouth running and controlling the clock. And it's a 17-10 game. Now it's what you see the Rams doing. It's what you see the Chiefs were doing, or, you know, they're trying to do still. Yeah, they're going to lose some players. You know, that's what a lot of these big offenses, the Saints are doing the same thing. It's bigger. It's a bigger offensive scheme because it's faster. It's pretty much a track team. It's now you get these dual running backs to where, like, look at the Saints, man. Alvin Kamara, you know, and he's small too. Alvin Kamara's 5'10". There's another one. So size don't matter because, I mean, Ray Rice was, what, 5'7", 5'8", and he did pretty decent for us. So, you know, just because you're small, and I feel like you can get away with it running back and at receiver to a extent. Other ones, not so much. Quarterback, yeah, because Russell Wilson's 5'10", and he's doing well. So, but getting away from that, I feel like this was a pick that the Ravens are actually doing what they said they were going to do. Lamar's their guy, and they're building the offense around them. Brandon, we haven't got to the rest of the picks yet, and already you can't even say right now that Lamar Jackson is the only playmaker on the team. That's exciting to me.
It's very exciting, and like you said, they are building the offense around Lamar. Obviously, they kept RG3 for a reason. They want him to kind of groom Lamar still, be Lamar's backup, and both of their styles mesh so well that if one does leave the game, the other one can step in right after him. So obviously, they want to build around Lamar. He's the guy. He's the man. But this Marquise Brown kid, it seems as if they want him there to maybe stretch the field. He's so fast. I mean, with a guy that is slender and short, he's going to have to be fast. He's going to have to get around big defensive backs. He's going to have to get around cornerbacks. I mean, he's definitely going to need his wheels on him. But the Ravens really have not had someone who can stretch the field since probably Torrey Smith.
Right. And that's what Torrey's MO was. It was running deep, stretching the field. And that's what Marquise is going to bring, man. I'm excited to see what he can do with that scheme. And we're going away from those possession receivers. And you look at it this way. The Ravens haven't done what they've done in previous years. Remember Joe Flacco, and it seemed like every 3 or 4 years, Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith. Have you seen the Ravens sign a veteran receiver as of late? I don't think so.
Right.
So they're changing of the guard. You're seeing the change. The Ravens are saying, you know what? You know, we're getting rid of all that offense. We're scrapping it. They got a new offensive coordinator now, Greg Roman. They're really doing it correctly. They're doing it. And again, Lamar showed us what he could do, what he's capable of a little bit with whether it makes sense to you or not. It is a Joe Flacco offense he ran last year. Why? Because Joe Flacco got hurt. Lamar had to be thrusted in. And that offense, that's why they kept it simple. And he was 6-1 as a starter with a simple offense. And I feel like when you're going to see Greg Roman's aggressiveness, and I did hear when Ravens drafted Marquise Brown, Greg Roman had a smile on his face ear to ear. So he was licking his chops. He knew he got the player that he needed for also Lamar. So I think you're going to really see an impact. Obviously, you know, day one starter, he drafted 25th overall. He fits right into the scheme, and I really can't wait to see this kid ball. And I really can't wait to see translate to, you know, that speed, that raw speed and talent. I mean, he caught over 1,300 yards and had, I think, 12 touchdowns last year. Pretty good year.
Yeah.
And
so, go ahead.
Do you know, I'm excited about this kid too, because if you followed his career, he come from Oklahoma, which is a prestigious program, right? And – They were in the Final Four of the college championship last year. They've been there last few years. But Marquise Brown, he comes from a system where, listen to this, Brandon. I'm sure you know this already. If not, here it is. Marquise Brown's first quarterback in college was drafted, and obviously we had our hands full this year, drafted number one last year, Baker Mayfield. So he goes from Baker Mayfield to, oh, Kyler Murray steps in. He wants to play football instead of baseball. Oh, so Marquise Brown, last two quarterbacks, went number one overall in the last two drafts. Not too shabby. And here's another tie-in. His NFL quarterback is Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson's backup is RG3. That means Marquise Brown, whether obviously he's catching passes for Lamar or a combination of RG3 in preseason or training camp, that means you look at it this way, Marquise Brown will have four straight quarterbacks that were Heisman winners. Has that even happened?
That's a good formula. That's a good formula for winning right bit. There.
A little bit. When I read that, I was like, that's impressive. That's what I'm saying. Is you're getting a receiver, a premier receiver, who's a big-time name that and creates a lot of buzz because the national media follows this guy. And then you have, obviously, the Brown tie-in, how Antonio Brown was that former Steeler, always killed us. Now he's a Raider. And it's just crazy how that all ties in. So, we have our own Brown, and Marquise is it, man. Hollywood Brown. It's going to be awesome.
I went to so on Friday night, the Ravens were quiet. They did not have a pick in the second round. They did not trade up to the second round. So nothing happened Friday night. And I was at Jimmy's Seafood. I was catching up with some friends I haven't seen in a very long time. And I had my eyes open because I figured Marquise Brown would be in Baltimore for Saturday and the Draft Fest. And I figured they'd tell him to go to Jimmy's Seafood on Friday night to get a crab cake. But I didn't see him there. I did see Ryan Jensen, who was in town for the Pawjack Runway, Show Your Soft Side, helping out some dogs that need some homes. But on Saturday, there was the Ravens Draft Fest. You were there. You were at the Inner Harbor down in Baltimore, and you actually got to meet Marquise Brown and Nick Boyle. So tell us what Draft Fest was like. What was it like meeting the newest Raven?
Yeah, man. And to touch on that, I did see Ryan Jensen. He walked right by us. I was like, I turned around. I'm like, is that Jensen? Like, he's wearing a blue shirt. And I was like, is that Jensen? And I was like, yeah. So that does solidify that I did see him, that you saw him too. So it wasn't a ghost.
So, yeah, I was like, dude, you know you're not in Tampa. This isn't Tampa, right? That's where you're supposed to be now. But
Well, there's a lot of former Ravens. Eric Weddle was up here for the Brigance Brigade.
That's right. A lot of guys giving back to the community still here in Baltimore. A lot of them helping out charity, man. Which, yeah, you love to see that. Even when players do go away, you still kind of have to root for them a little bit just because of all the great work that they do in the community.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that. And a lot of former Ravens, Tom Zabikowski was actually draft fest doing some autograph signings. So there were some current former Ravens there a lot. But draft fest, let me tell you, apart from the wind, because it was a crazy windy day, but there was not a cloud in the sky. Again, if the wind wasn't blowing, it would have been picture perfect. But it was still great. You know, draft fest. Now, it was actually, believe it or not, Brandon, I've been to Draft Fest before, but this was my first encounter with it being at downtown Inner Harbor. I didn't go last year because I was kind of turned off by that. I was like, man, I don't know how it's going to be. It's at the harbor. You got to take shuttles. I loved it when it was at the stadium. You could walk everywhere. But a lot of people, actually, I heard good feedback from last year. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try it because a lot of people were saying with it being in the stadium, it was so spread out, right?
Right.
Like you had the club level, then you had to go all the way across the stadium for this. And here, with it being at the Inner Harbor, it wasn't that bad. It was all right in one place. So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. It was fairly easy. We got to Lot D. We took the bus right over the place. And I have to tell you a funny story. So we're getting on the bus, okay? And the Ravens had their outlet sale, which I didn't do this year just because I felt like I had enough Ravens garb, right? And
you had enough Ravens stuff? Come on.
Yeah, had enough. Well, we got there a little late. Usually me and you know, you get there at like 8, right? So I didn't get there till like 10, and Draft Fest was 11. So plus, I had a caravan full of people. And, I was going. We were loading the bus. You know how windy it was. Well, Papa John's must have been doing delivery for, I guess, the Raven staff. And I'm sitting on the other side of the bus. So I didn't see anything. But then all of a sudden, everybody's looking out the window and going, ooh, oh, and they're all like, yeah. I was like, what? So I see his pizza box flying. Apparently, the wind was so crazy, the delivery guy lost two pizzas in the process.
Oh, my God.
I was like, no. So I was like, we're all like, had a good laugh. And you've seen, like, all these pizzas put on, like, one of these, like carts. And you had, like, four or five state people, like, holding the boxes down, walking with it. And they're walking very slow. I'm like, that's something you don't see every day. So that it was a crazy start to Draft Fest. We got shuttled over there. It was great, man. Got there right away. There was food trucks. Got greeted with some friendly staff and taking some photos there. And right away, I saw a lot of players. 98 Rock was on site, so I saw Jimmy Smith being interviewed. He was in front of me. I saw Anthony Levine. I saw Peanut. He was walking around. So Patrick Osmar. So he was there. And then and Nick Boyle was in front of us being interviewed, and got to actually, it was kind of fun. Met him twice. Met him the first time at the 98 Rock tent, and so we get in line for our vouchers. Okay, long story short, they do photograph and autograph vouchers, and I wanted to do photographs. I don't really have a sign, so we're getting in line, and they don't tell you the player, Brandon. They don't really tell you who's there because that's a surprise. It's kind of like they just every hour from 11:30 to 3:30. They have our photos. So the first photo op, 11:30, was Willie Sneed. We saw him in the tent. So we're getting up there. Okay, we're in line. And because I already saw Nick Boyle, it was funny. I saw Nick Boyle walking over with Willie, and he was in the tent. I was like, we're like, man, we just met Nick Boyle. I'm like, yeah, let's meet him again. Whatever. I mean, it's free. You know, we're not, you know, we're just spend 20 minutes in line and we're good. And I met him before. He's a really nice guy. Obviously, he just got the contact extension. Well, at least I'm thinking, like, we're getting a 2-for-1, right? It's because Willie Sneed was still taking pictures with Nick Boyle. And I'm like, man, all right. So we get to meet Willie. I never met Willie before. It's great. So Willie Sneed actually leaves, and Nick Boyle's there by himself. I'm like, oh, it sucks. So not even a minute later, you see, because we're up on the hill to where it is. It's like, it's right at the Inner Harbor, but we're on, like, one of the grassy hills waiting to go down into the where the tent is to get photographs. And you see the swarm of the security is wearing that red and blue jackets and all that. Sure. And you see people around, and usually that means a Ed Reed, a Ray Lewis, or somebody of importance is following around, or in this day and age, it might be Lamar or Mark Ingram or somebody high profile. Well, I recognized the jacket, and when I saw the chain through the crowd, I looked at my buddy and be like, it's Hollywood. And it was a surprise because we didn't know he was going to like be in our session. And then he comes over and sits down next to Nick Boyle on the stool, and the whole crowd's going crazy, and everybody's going Hollywood, and here come all the cell phones, and then it was kind of a funny statement. My buddy turns to me, he goes, "Nick Boyle's probably like crap," because he's like great, but no, it was great. I got up there. Nick Boyle was the first one I talked to. I congratulated him on his contract. Very awesome guy. He said thank you, and I said I can't wait to see you guys play. Nick Boyle's actually always one. You know, been very, very cordial to meet. All the Ravens players have, but Nick Boyle is awesome to meet. So if anybody who hasn't met him yet, try to get to him if you can. He's going to be around, obviously, got the extension. And then I met Hollywood, shook his hand, gave him a brief hug and said, welcome to Baltimore. I said, how you like it? He actually said it's pretty fun so far. So, he was loving that, got to meet him, you know, took a great picture. And then I said, I can't wait, looking forward to the year. And I told him, have a great rest of the day. So it was a great interaction with Nick and Hollywood, man. It was great. So, again, it was a treat. Didn't expect it, but, hey, it was there. So it was kind of great how I got to meet Lamar last year. Now I got to meet Hollywood this year. So, hey, man, it's always like right place, right time, it feels like. But it was a great Draft Fest, and then got to see history. How about Mo Gabba reading the draft pick in Braille? That just gives me chills, man. How special is that?
Yeah, that was really nice that the Ravens allowed him to do that. And yep. Again, I mean, we talked about it all last year, history, and there's more history being made right there.
It's always around this team. I mean, from the first two draft picks ever being Hall of Famers and what we've accomplished over these last 20-plus years, it's great. And the Ravens doing that and the fans, it's just great. And Draft Fest was great. Got to hear it was kind of great because I heard – Marquise Brown speak before he was up on stage, and then he came over. So I got to see him twice, technically. And there was a lot of, you know, great things. Draft Fest, there was giveaways. But again, Draft Fest was a success. Couldn't really be more excited for the team. But getting a hope for Browns, I knew hype's on Brown. Brown's a premier playmaker. But the Ravens actually did like you said, Friday night was kind of quiet because Eric DaCosta was even frustrated because he's like, they didn't really have that second round pick and he had to wait a long time. And there were scenarios where he said he had, you know, if he wanted to trade into the second, it would have cost him a lot, basically their whole last half of the draft. So he felt like they didn't want to do it. And even Eric DaCosta was frustrated. And oh, we all were, because there's players flying off the board and you're like, man, but we didn't really have a pick till the third round. But in the third, we did some damage, man. And dude, the Ravens didn't waste any time and win their second pick overall in this draft, but the first and the third round, they picked up a guy who solidifies our answer on that pass rush, man. You heard that name, Jalen Ferguson, before? I mean, Louisiana Tech?
I personally, I have not heard of him before the Ravens drafted him, but after doing some research about him, that nickname he has, I kind of want that nickname on a jersey. His nickname is Sack Daddy.
Well, you know why? You know why?
Why is that?
You know whose record he broke?
Oh, was that Mr. Terrell Suggs?
The former Sack Daddy.
Oh, there you go, you see.
So how fitting and eerie crazy is that, that the Ravens lose to Suggs in his last year to the Cardinals? You know, he wants to go out there and have fun his last year in the NFL, probably. Ravens want to replace Suggs. They basically replace him with somebody who broke his NCAA sack record. No big deal.
That's right. He got 45 career sacks, breaking Suggs' Division I record.
And that was his number. Crazy, isn't it? Number 45. That was his college number. Suggs had 44 career sacks in college. So, yeah, Jalen Ferguson. So, to me, that's not a slash of a pick. If you really want to replace a Za'Darius Smith and a Terrell Suggs, why don't you replace him with somebody who actually broke Suggs' sack record in college? Pretty impressive.
That's right. Ferguson led the FBS with 17.5 sacks last season, recorded pressure on 19.1% of his pass rushes. So that was,
and he did play against LSU.
That's right. And he was just ranked second behind Josh Allen. So, I mean, if you're going to lose Terrell Suggs, and
he went in the first round, I believe.
That's right, yeah. And if you are going to lose Terrell Suggs, I mean, I don't think Suggs was ever going to play this year for the Ravens. The fact that he's still playing, though, it's his decision. This isn't a bad guy to follow up in the Suggs footsteps. So very good pickup. And for the second pick for the Ravens, I mean, you are addressing the offense in your first. Now you're addressing the defense because, man, the Ravens lost so much talent on the defense this year. I mean, Suggs, Weddle, Za'Darius Smith, C.J. Mosley, all gone, all made massive amounts of money. So good for them. But the Ravens weren't going to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't fault him. I mean, it was going to cost a lot to keep a C.J. Mosley. Suggs, it was his decision to leave. The Ravens made a great offer to him. It was made known. Weddle, getting up there in years, they replaced him with Earl Thomas. So, to me, not a bad upgrade. So, you have to look at the additions versus subtractions, and that's how it is. You hear that phrase, you know, addition by subtraction, take away to get back and get back tenfold. And that's the way the Ravens are doing this year. But not only did they follow up with that Ferguson, but you remember Eric DaCosta, Brandon, that he was actually saying that they wanted to take some swings and get aggressive, as he put it, in trying to go at the receivers. Well, right after Ferguson, the Ravens traded up a little bit into the third round, gave up some ground, and they went after a big dynamic receiver who's also fast and from another school. So now here's the thing. Louisiana Tech's still one of the great schools in D1 football, but you look at it this way. The Ravens usually get these players from, like, you know, D2, D3 schools, and you're like, who they are? You just went from a receiver from Oklahoma. Now the Ravens went to go grab a receiver from Notre Dame, another great school program. His name is Miles Borkin. Boykin, he wore number 81. And do you know why he wore number 81?
Why is that?
Because his favorite player is Calvin Johnson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's 6'4", 220. And I tell you what, I didn't know anything about this guy. I knew about Brown, but I knew the name Miles Boykin, but didn't really see his highlights. I knew he played for him. So I went online and did some digging and watched his highlights. I'm telling you what, I wasn't going to say this, but I almost said, Brown who? Because this guy was, no, I mean, but this guy, all the highlights were is, I mean, yeah, he's fast, but he was going up and grabbing the ball. Like, he was making plays. And to me, Harbaugh stressed this in the meetings. He said, I want receivers can run routes and catch balls. That's what a dynamic receiver is. You don't have to be a Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, or all the Julio Jones, or all these stalwart, big-name receivers. Just go out, run a route, get open. When the ball's thrown to you, catch it. Unlike Perryman didn't learn. So, Miles Boykin, I tell you what, for all those who don't see it, go watch his highlights on YouTube. Man, this guy's impressive. And the Ravens, they went, like I said, they addressed the speedster. They got a 5'10 receiver, 5'9 receiver who can burn it. Now they got a 6'4, 220 guy that says, you know what, let's throw it up and get it. So there you go. There's the receiver. So they didn't go small town on that one, did they?
No, not at all. It's also the first time in the Ravens franchise history that the Ravens selected two wide receivers in the first three rounds of the same draft. So I wonder if Joe Flacco is sitting in Denver right now going, guys, what the hell? You couldn't have done this when I was there? Are you serious?
Well, everybody was actually clamoring about that. And, you know, I actually felt like they did. And they did and didn't. You know, yeah, they went a lot of defensive heavy when he was here. There was actually a draft where they didn't draft any skill positions whatsoever. But a lot of their additions were free agents. They weren't drafts. And it is kind of crazy how the Ravens in their history have had the worst way of drafting wide receivers, but they're not the only team that has woes. Look at you know how it always happens that the Steelers always find a receiver in a draft,
mm-hmm.
right? But right. You know they can't find any corners whatsoever. The Steelers' biggest weakness has always been corners. They can't find coverage, but the Ravens can find the defensive player. Every team out there, all 32 teams, have their vice. You know, where they can't draft that one position player. The Ravens, and I feel like this is the changing of the guard. They drafted two dynamic receivers who can come right in and say, you know what, we're going to make you forget all that. And you're right, first time in history that's done it. Two out of the first three picks are offense. They're showing their hand. It's been said that you want to see where a team wants to go, look at their draft. Did they go defensive heavy? Did they go special teams heavy? Did they go passing heavy? What did they do? And the Ravens right here are saying, you know what, Lamar, you're the guy. We went up and drafted you 32 overall. We let our franchise go in Joe Flacco. Now you're it. And they're saying, you know what, we're going to help you out. Because the players that we have right now, they're going to be a complement to that. But the Ravens weren't going to win them more than three or four games total if you throw Willie Snead and Chris Moore out there. And I know they signed Seth Roberts. So the receiving core that they had, they're not going to roll out there and go, you know what, win 10 games and win a division. No, they had to go draft. And I don't think remember how it was said that you're going to have a hard time finding receivers here? The Ravens got to do it this way in the draft because you're not going to go out and find that Anquan Boldin, that Steve Smith. Unless Lamar develops into a dynamic passer, that's what's going to attract the free agents in 2020, saying, you know what, they're doing something down in Baltimore and I want in. But right now, the Ravens got to find those receivers in the draft, and they hit them, I felt like, 1-2 punch in the first three picks. And again, sandwiched in between with a sack daddy leader, I'm good with it, brother. I'm good with these first three picks.
That's right. And so moving on to round four, the Ravens went with a running back, Justice Hill, from Oklahoma State at number 113. He was the fastest.
In the state of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is a big deal with the Ravens this year. It's kind of crazy.
I thought it was Alabama.
I know, yeah, Bama used to be the one they went with, but Oklahoma seems to be making some sort of waves with the Ravens. But Justice Hill, he was the fastest running back at the NFL Combine. He ran the fastest running back at the NFL Combine.
What did you just say? Did you notice a theme here? What, fastest?
The fastest
running back in the Combine in 2019.
That's right.
Aren't the Ravens trying to get faster and younger?
It seems like faster, younger. That's what they're looking for.
This was the pick that I was surprised. I was like, running back? When I first saw it, I'm like, running back? We don't need a run. And then when I saw who it was and read about him, I'm like, nope. Yep, that's fine. Because we just signed a Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards, who are those bruiser backs. Yeah, Gus Edwards had a great first impression, but Mark Ingram's going to be that change of pack. This is going to be, and this is why I loved it. I don't know if Mark Ingram put his reaction out there, but this reminds me of a Alvin Kamara-Mark Ingram partnership, because I heard that Justice Hill models his game after Kamara because he's small and he's fast, and he's the fastest running back in this year's draft. So right there, are you seeing that correlation a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit.
So the Ravens are they're doing work, man. They're doing work, and we're not done, are we?
So if they are doing a run first offense, it's not just going to be Lamar running out, around out there. It seems as if they want it's probably going to be a three-headed monster when it comes to running back this year.
But you add that in there.
Yeah.
Not saying like Lamar's going to run for 1,500 yards this year, but no, he shouldn't, obviously. But if you have that threat, that means just think about it, okay? Just think about if this was the starting lineup, right? You have Lamar in the center, Mark Ingram's in the back, maybe you have Justice Hill back there somewhere, or you have any of a combination, and you got Snead in the slot, you have Miles Boykin out wide, you have Marquise Brown on the other side. The Ravens could run a dangerous RPO, the run pass option, because Lamar gets his fumbling under control, and that's where I'm honing in on. I'm not worrying about him throwing the ball 60 yards down the field. I'm worrying about his fumbling, because with an RPO and with him being a ball handler most of the time as he's a quarterback, there's where his skills are going to come into play with holding the ball, because if he can hold on to that ball in RPO, and let's say he fakes it to one of these guys, because the defense, if you're a linebacker or somewhere around the ball, you're going to go, is Lamar running it? Is Ingram running it? Is he going to throw it to Hill? What's going on? And then he could take the top off, and there goes Brown running down the field on a slant route, and he comes across the field, and Brown's going. So I'm just trying to paint that early, early picture of what this could look like. So the Ravens are tipping their hand and showing that we're going to go out and put a they basically went from a V4 to a few Ferraris, I felt like.
That's definitely what it feels like. And
yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's exciting to talk about. We haven't seen these players yet do anything for us, but you can already hear the excitement in everybody.
Yeah, we'll get to catch a little glimpse of them in rookie camp, and that's going to be coming up in May. So we'll get to see them at least here in Baltimore for a little bit.
Tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
Yay. Getting closer to July.
Yeah, we keep getting closer to football. It's almost here. But if we keep moving on, at number 123, the Ravens picked up Ben Powers. He's a guard. He's from Oklahoma.
Where's he from?
Again, Oklahoma. Okay,
oh, man,
Oklahoma.
No. We haven't drafted any Alabama players? Oh, my gosh.
Not one.
Wow.
But
Oklahoma, man. Another one. And he played with Brown.
Oh, yeah, OBJ, Orlando Brown Jr. They seem to be very close friends. Orlando got
the
starting spot last year.
We had Mark Andrews, Brown, or Orlando Brown last year. Now we got Marquise Brown and Ben Powers this year, and then even Justice Hill from Oklahoma State. So, man, Oklahoma in the house. We're just going to have to move Oklahoma to Baltimore at this point. Just start playing the OU games in M&T Bank this year.
Hey, why not? Let's do it.
But yeah, man, the last 2 years have been Oklahoma strong.
Yeah, this guy is the fourth Sooner to be taken by Baltimore in the last two drafts. And there's a rumor going around that Baltimore brought him in because of the struggles that Alex Lewis has had. So Ben Powers is not a lock starter, but he definitely has a chance to battle for that spot.
Oddly enough, he wore Alex's Lewis's current number now in college. Oh, 72.
Okay.
So kind of a premonition there, wouldn't you say? A
little bit.
We have concerns of Alex Lewis. We're going to bring this in. But you know what excites me about this guy? By the way, this was the draft pick that Mo Gabba read in Braille. This was him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep, that was him. So he'll be forever linked to that. That's an answer to your trivia question there for you. But his quarterback was Kyler Murray, who got drafted first overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did Kyler Murray ever get sacked last year? Nope.
No.
He didn't allow a sack at all last year.
Wow, okay.
Yep. Anytime Ben Powers was protecting the pass, he did not have a sack allowed against him being defensed.
See, that was always a thing. I thought in the Flacco era that the Baltimore Ravens kind of lacked was that they never gave Joe time to let things kind of settle up and stay in the pocket. You look at like the Patriots and you look at what Tom Brady can do, and he can sit in that pocket all day. He's got all the time in the world. Joe never had that. So if you're going to have Lamar be not just a running quarterback, but one that can throw, one that can run, you got to let plays develop so he can kind of use all the tools he has. Ben Powers, it seems like he might be the guy to help that happen.
Absolutely, man. He's definitely the guy that's going to be thrown right into the mix to help solidify that problem. Not allowing a sack in college is definitely impressive. I don't care what you say, especially D1 and the program he was in and the opponents he faced and the schools he faced. And to keep Lamar's backside clean, man. We need all help we can get. Lines has been – and that was – Everybody was clamoring for that, that they finally drafted that lineman, but man, was it late. But I still feel like it was a solid pick, even though it was late. It was the 123rd overall in the fourth round, but still, you draft a guy from the same team as your first round pick, from a system that Kyler Murray came in. Look at the system he was in, look at the team he was in, and the fact he didn't give up any sacks, that's saying something. So there's the value. Yeah, he wasn't a first round, second round, third round pick, but hey, it doesn't matter, man, because again, do we care where these players pick? Because I dare you to go back in the last 7 to 10 years of these first and second round drafts. Tell me how many busts you see, but then you see a Antonio Brown drafted fifth round, Tom Brady sixth round, Julian Edelman seventh round. So it doesn't matter what round you draft these players in, because there's talent everywhere. You just can't discount that just because you're a top tier talent. Again, man, I mean, the Raiders drafted Jamarcus Russell first overall, and where's he at? You know, Jameis Winston was drafted first overall. How's he doing? He's mediocre at best. So, you know, again, you can sit here and break every draft down. All 32 teams are in the same boat this year. You can get excited about your team's respective draft, whether you love it or hate it, but at the same time, all 32 teams don't know what they're getting. They draft these guys, but they still got to go out and translate and play on the field. But getting right there, and you look at the first – five picks and four all offense, and you get two receivers, a running back, and a guard, and you put in that defensive end, the plug and play there to replace two players. Right now, there's a solid meets needs right there. They're drafting to their needs and then some. So, and we still got a little bit more to go. We have three more picks to break down, but apart from that, right there, Ben Powers is going to be a great addition.
That's right. And like you said, there's three picks left. Last one of round four was at number 127, and that was a cornerback that was, I hope I'm saying his first name right, Amon Marshall. Yep. This seems to be a depth pick, a kind of insurance pick, because the Ravens are going to need a cornerback in the next couple years. This is Jimmy Smith's final year of his contract. Brandon Carr turns 33 in May. So this seems to be like, yeah, we're good at that position, but just in case anything happens, we're going to keep a guy here as well.
Absolutely. And I wasn't really taken back by this pick. I was okay with it. You're right. And the old mantra is you can never have too many corners, as what's said. And now he's 6'1", 207. Out of USC, another great program. I took a little film on him, looked at some highlights. The guy was decent. He has some good coverages, and from what I've seen, I'm sure he's got his pros and cons as every player. But again, I'm okay with it. You're right with it. And it seems like corners really go down lately for us. And I mean, we got Tavon, and we got Jimmy Smith, we got Marlon Humphrey. We have a good stable, a good crop of guys. But right now, I feel like, hey, adding depth is never, ever a bad thing. And we'll see what pans out this pick. But again, definitely not a terrible way to go about it.
That's right. Round five, we have one pick, number 160. I hope I'm saying the name right. Dalen Mack. He's a defensive tackle, Texas A&M. I couldn't find a lot of information about this guy. I watched a couple YouTube videos about him. He seems fine, but with Michael Pierce being in his last year of the rookie contract, this might also be let's draft this guy, see if maybe we can develop him for next year if the Michael Pierce money isn't there after this season.
Absolutely. And then Brandon Williams is getting up there in years. And you're right. It was really hard to find information on this guy. But what I did find is the guy, I did find a YouTube video of him pushing a truck. So, I mean, I feel like any lineman can do that, offense or defense, if they do. I mean, Brock Lesnar can pick up trucks and so can Braun Strowman in WWE. But that's besides the point. But, you can never have, I wouldn't say never too many defensive tackles, but right with the Pierce situation they're developing. And I look at it this way. If they didn't go, and we have one pick left to go after this one, and we already know what it is, and we'll break it down, but we know the Ravens didn't address the middle linebacker position with C.J. Mosley. So if you're going to leave that void, and they feel like Kenny Young and Peanut can fill that void there in the middle, and if they can, great. But hey, if you're going to have this guy come in to help on the line, I'd rather have the help up front, because if you're not going to address the middle linebacker, at least get the up front settled, because I think our secondary and our safeties are solid, so and our edge rushers. So the middle of the field might be a concern, but I liked what I see about Kenny Young. I loved what I've seen about Peanut. So can't wait to see what these guys can bring in that void.
That's right. And at round six, number 197, the Ravens drafted a quarterback, Trace McSorley from Penn State. Kind of an odd pick for the Ravens, I gotta say. He seems as if he's Penn State's all-time leading passer, but for him to make the 53-man roster, he's got to do something else besides be the quarterback. I can't see the Ravens having three quarterbacks on the roster this season, especially you have Lamar, you have RG3. That seems to be your duo right there. This kid, he might have to show something else to make the roster this year.
And he will, Brandon. I'm glad you said that, because Trace McSorley, because again, I knew about him because of Penn State, and a lot of my friends are Penn State fans, and obviously with Maryland playing them in the Big Ten, I got to hear a lot about what he is. He actually was recruited by Penn State as a quarterback. He actually played corner before. So he's the kind of jack of all trades kind of deal. And what I've heard from the breakdown post draft of this kid is, yeah, he's a quarterback. And you might say, Brandon, you're like, well, we don't really need one. I feel like we did, because the Ravens only had Lamar and RG3 on the roster. They need a third one, but what Trace is going to be, he's going to be that training camp arm and preseason arm, because obviously you don't want RG3 playing the whole half. You don't want, and Lamar playing a whole half. You want to spell these guys a little bit, and there was nobody on the roster. I think Sam Cook was next in line as the backup quarterback. So, so I look at it this way. It's not a bad thing, but you're correct in saying we're only going to activate two. We're going to activate two, and we know that. We're going to activate on game days Lamar and RG3. So if Trace does make the 53-man roster, he won't be it'll be the inactive active stuff. Or I see him here, put him on the practice squad because we need an arm. And then if somebody does get hurt, you got a quarterback you can thrust in there, and he's a system guy. And I heard this. Now, this is something I want to see more of, or see more of a scheme, but I heard some media put this guy – you remember from this past year, even though the Saints have Drew Brees, you remember that quarterback Taysom Hill that played against us and he was put in certain situations to run a little bit? So I heard the Ravens could use him in that form where – and even – I know Harbaugh joked about it when asked. He said something along the tongue-in-cheek, like maybe at one point we can have all three quarterbacks lined up out there and provide some trickery. But I'm like – but what I feel like is Trace, he's not like he's not your glorified pocket passer. He could play special teams probably. He's going to be the practice squad quarterback, a preseason quarterback if he makes it. It's not a bad pickup. I feel like with a sixth round pick that late, you almost have to evaluate what's left. I mean, I'm not going to say he's Mr. Irrelevant, but it's not a bad pickup. You could argue both of it. Like, oh, well, we could have probably picked up a – I wouldn't say a scrub lineman at that point, but you could have probably picked up another lineman at that point. But hey, the Ravens aren't done. You still got to go through the period of compensatory picks to go, and then free agency can open back up here for them in the first weeks of May. They're not done, man. But it's one of these picks where I don't love it and I don't hate it. I'm fine with it. I mean, it's the 197th pick out of the draft. You're getting to the end, and I'm excited for him.
Let me throw something by you, though. I mean, you might think this is crazy. If I'm insane, tell me. But McSorley, he was the fastest quarterback at the NFL Combine. And they're saying, like, if this guy wants to make the 53-man roster, he's going to have to be more than just a quarterback. Could this guy be a punt returner? Could he be the guy to go on special teams, catch the ball, run it back? I mean, we have not had one of those since Jacoby Jones. I mean, we tried out a couple different players the last couple years. Who was the kid who was Michael Campanaro? I mean, he was the punt returner for a little bit here, and that didn't work out. He moved to Tennessee. Could this kid maybe do that, do something on special teams and not really, be on the offense or defensive side of the ball and just kind of do something every once in a while? I mean, if he's got the wheels, like they're saying, fastest QB of the combine, why not utilize that?
There you go. And what's the mantra we've been preaching this whole draft breakdown? Faster. Mm-hmm. Fastest in the draft, faster. He fits that mantra, and what a better way to solidify your last pick in the draft of that you're not insane, because that fits the bill of what I was talking about. Not just the quarterback, but he can do everything else. And I actually can envision him. If I sit here and close my eyes, I can envision him being back there. And you might say, well, Josh and Brandon, why would you want a third string quarterback on your team returning kicks and all that? Well, right now, I don't know who would be. I don't even know if I look at the Jep chart who they got listed, because I don't know who's going to be returning punt. I mean, hey, there was a time Ed Reed was doing it for us, wasn't he not?
Right.
So, I mean, hey, you putting Ed Reed back there and you're going to whine about a third string quarterback, save it. I don't even want to hear that argument. I like it, and that could be something that if that is what it is, there it is. That could be the way we use them.
All right, I mean, just something I was thinking about. Got some wheels, utilize them, and give them that you know, NFL game experience, not just practice squad. If you think, you know, this QB could take over one day, who knows? But anyway, I think, you know, got some wheels, put them on the special teams. Why not? He can do that. So
absolutely.
That's pretty much everybody for the draft and who the Ravens have picked up. Josh, have we covered everything for this after the draft podcast?
I think we pretty much got it. Before we cut out, I do want to add that post-draft, not anything to get really excited about. I mean, it is for the Lamar Jackson connection, but the Ravens actually added one of Lamar's old receivers on his team. They added former Louisville Cardinal receiver Jalen Smith, another Jalen. So he might be one to watch out for, maybe a dark horse receiver. Again, nothing to – that he might start from day one, but that's good that we get a receiver that is familiar with Jackson's system and Jackson's throwing abilities and all that. So, hey, there might be something to be said there, so keep an eye out on that. But apart from that, this was a great draft. Before we cut out, before we say a big hearty nevermore, before I get to mine, what grade do you give the Ravens in this draft? After we break everything down here, Eric DaCosta's first draft, I want to answer your grade and how impressed were you, or not impressed if you weren't, of Eric DaCosta taking over for Ozzy, and your thoughts on ED as our GM now.
I mean, it's hard to grade the draft because we haven't seen these players and what they can do yet, but as far as addressing the issues that...
Well, if they all fail, then you're obviously going to grade it an F.
Right, right.
I mean, based on the needs and everything and these players' abilities and how they maneuvered on this board, what would you give it?
I mean,
after it,
addressing all of the, like you said, addressing what the Ravens need, what they need in the future, like we saw with the defensive tackle, pickup in round five. I'd give Eric DaCosta a B. I'd give him a solid B. He obviously wants speed, and he got plenty of fast players and an unorthodox pick to start the whole thing off. But I think that might actually work out to the Ravens' advantage. So, only time will tell if these players work out. The Ravens have had some bad luck with wide receivers in the draft, but obviously Eric DaCosta feels very good about these guys. So I'd give him a B. I think he did really well.
Great. And I thought long and hard on this before the show started and what grade I wanted to give him. I was breaking all these picks down, how my personal excitement gets involved. You know, I don't care if I met the draft picks or not, or, you know, or I look at it this way. I'm actually going to give an A, just an A, not an A minus, not an A plus. I don't think he knocked it out apart, but this is a very, very solid draft. And from top to bottom, Brandon, I can't remember the last time I was actually like, you know what? There's nothing where I was disgusted with or the Ravens missed. I mean, last year, I was disgusted with last year's draft when they drafted Mark Andrews after they drafted Hurst. And when I saw Calvin Ridley go right after us to the Falcons, I actually got sour there. I was like, we missed it there. Because if you look at those first three picks and had a draft do over, I would have done Calvin Ridley, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews. But hindsight's always 20/20, because I'm like, we signed Nick Boyle. Do we really need all three tight ends? So, I mean, you can never have too many tight ends, I guess. But to me, it was kind of a waste. If you're going to waste a 25th overall like last year, I wouldn't say waste, but you're going to use it on a tight end and then draft one, two picks later. Yeah, I know. But you might say, well, Josh, but they did almost the same thing. They went receiver, defense, receiver. Last year they went, tight end, quarterback, tight end. I get it. But just when you know your receiver was a pain point last year. Yeah, I know that, and they probably didn't do so, man, because they brought in a John Brown and a Crabtree last year, so I guess they felt like they didn't need one, but again, for the future. So I digress from that. I give him an A, and I really love DaCosta's maneuvering the board. I felt like Eric, here's my take on Eric. He's a lifer. He could have taken jobs. He was interviewed for the GM job in Green Bay, other positions, but you know what? He decided to stay, and whether he had that partnership, because he knew one day this would be his job. And kudos to him for sticking it out, man. I don't know how many of you guys in your roles would be like, you know, getting job offers left and right, and here, come here, come here. But you're like, no, I'm staying because X guy's going to retire, and I'm going to get next in line. So, and it must have been guaranteed to him because he knew. And he actually, to me, I felt like the Ravens' core values and the Ravens' core in general wasn't even lost in this. I felt like you had a home guy, had a lifer guy that knew the system, knew the values, play like a Raven. What we wanted here, he knew the philosophy of where we want to go offensively. Greg Roman, the changing of the guard with the team getting faster, younger, and quicker. And I actually, again, I'm going to stop short by saying he didn't knock it out of the park, because I'm not going to go that far, because obviously it remains to be seen. I felt like there could have dressed some of the line a little bit, maybe. You know, again, you can never too many corners. You could have maybe switched the corner out for alignment. I don't know, but. Short from that, solid A for me, a very, very solid A. Top to bottom, solid draft. Eric DaCosta, congratulations on that. And, hey, his first draft, and all these picks will be tied to him forever. And obviously the picks thereafter, but his first ever pick is Marquise Brown. His last ever pick is Trace McSorley. And all these crop of players this year, remember their names. This is Eric DaCosta's first draft class. And congratulations on that. And let's hit him hard this summer. And with that, for me, I'm going to say a hearty quoth the Raven, nevermore, unless you got something to add.
No, I think we're good. I think we covered all these guys as best as we can. If anybody out there would like to continue the conversation, why don't you tell us who your favorite draft pick was this year? What do you think Eric DaCosta did? Let us know over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. You can also tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch and Pinterest, whatever, wherever you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for this After the Draft podcast. Hopefully we'll be back in the next couple weeks when mini camp starts, rookie training camp starts, and we get to have a little glimpse of what these guys can look like on the field in their Ravens purple. So that's it for this show. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much, man. It was always a treat covering the draft. Another one in the books, a new crop of Ravens for the flock. You know, tell us, man. I've seen a lot of buzz on social media. A lot of people were happy. Really didn't see too many upset, but if you're upset or if you're excited, please tell us how. You know, welcome all. If you disagree with the draft and see, I'd like to hear where you probably would have went if you were the GM, or would you like to see the Ravens go in that direction? Did you like the picks? Do you hate them? Are you on par with our grades? Would you grade it differently? Are you an A+? Are you a C? Are you a kind of just, you know, don't care approach? We love to hear from you all. And now I'm very excited about to see what this draft class has offered. Man, we're getting faster, younger, and there's an excitement about the team. And I will say this, for those who watch Good Morning Football, if not, go to it. Pete Schrager broke it down and actually was on board with the Ravens draft and saying that he's more excited to see them because of the younger and faster, and they're getting quick. And the Ravens are going to be exciting on offense. Just watch. I mean, you look at Jackson, Ingram, Hollywood, Boykin, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, Nick Boyle. Again, you know, this could be an offense that could be really quick, really dangerous, and remains to be seen in camp and getting through to it, putting the pieces together. But boy, on paper, they really blew the competition away, all pun intended, man. And they're going to leave them in the dust. And you know, no more of that AAC North football. It's going to be a new brand of football in 2019. And defending division champs are getting right to work in the draft. Post-draft, we've got the mini camps coming up here, and we get to see our first kind of real taste of it. And with that being said, welcome to the flock, newest and current Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.